Hey there guys, this is Dave from DC On Screen. I just wanted to let you know that DC On Screen is now officially a part of the 11th Annual People's Podcast Awards. If you would like to vote for DC On Screen, go to podcastawards.com, scroll to the bottom, and write us in on the TV and film ballot on the right-hand side. Then, on the left-hand side, put your name, your email address, then submit. Importantly, you can nominate up to 20 shows for different categories, but you could submit the nomination form only one time. Make sure you nominate all your favorite shows in their respective category. Once you hit submit, that's it. You're done for 2016. Can't go back, can't do it again. Settle in now for a brand new episode of DC On Screen. Welcome in to DC On Screen 154. We're about to get super spoilery on Gotham 217 Into the Woods. I am your host, David C. Robertson. This is my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hey.
So, quick recap on Gotham 217. Bruce and Selina are having their street life of crime. Barnes accuses Bullock of harboring Jim Gordon. Hugo Strange releases Barbara Keane, knowing she's still insane. And Penguin deals with the Vandals after the untimely death of his father. Oh, and there's the little matter of Gordon and everyone ever learning that Edward Nygma is a criminal genius. This was a fun episode,
man. I had a great time. I want to mention one thing, though. I don't feel that it's unrelated that this was a heavy Bullock episode, and I loved the crap out of it. I don't think those are unrelated concepts. He is so much fun when they use him, man.
Yeah, I love Bullock. I didn't really consider this a Bullock-heavy episode.
Heavier than normal for Bullock.
Yeah, heavier for normal than season 2.
That's how I should phrase that, at least. Yeah, heavier for normal than season 2 for Bullock. Got a lot more FaceTime with him than I normally get.
And he even had, there was a bit where, he's seducing that...
Jenny.
...person.
I think he called her Jenny.
the woman in IA or whatever it was called. Yeah. And she says, I thought you were getting married. And, there's just a twinge of... There's a twinge of pain on Bullock's face. And he says she changed her mind.
Right, right.
Oh, I feel so bad for Bullock. Because we've been waiting to hear what actually happened with him and Scott.
Yeah. Maya's drinking again. I assume they're all related now.
Yeah.
And, speaking of that scene, though...
I actually drew an emoticon.
Yeah. Speaking of that scene, though, damn, Bullock is just the best friend ever, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Well, Gordon points it out. You've done more than any partner could ever ask for.
Don't get framed for murder, Jason.
You can't pull that off for me.
I'm no Harvey Bullock.
You wouldn't have to worry about it. I wouldn't have survived prison to get out of it. You'd have been...
You're Puck, huh?
You would have been a day and a half into planning how to get me out before you got news that I'd been shanked in jail.
Right. Damn it, I wish I had not got distracted by watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Right.
Oh.
What happened to Jason? He complimented somebody's Batman tattoo and it didn't go over well. It didn't go over well at all. He's gone.
No.
Oh, that opening scene,
this
man.
This is making me sad.
That opening scene. That's let's bring back the happy. That look on Bruce's face when he's running with the money man. He loves taking risks. It's so much fun to watch him really stretch his legs there. Because she tells him leave the bag, and you can see it cross his mind no, it'd be more fun to try to get the bag too.
Yeah, and he grabs the bag and he jumps, and I almost had a stroke.
Yeah.
Man, I can't do heights.
Uh-uh.
Oh, man, that's awful.
Oh, I know.
But,
I mean...
He dumps that money.
Oh, and he's laughing at the guy, yeah.
Yeah. She's like, why are you dumping the money? He's like, I'm not a thief. Now, he did save enough for burgers.
Right, though. That line really got me, too.
So, I'm starting to get how Bruce arrives at the I don't kill, but I'll let you die mentality. I'm not a thief, but I will eat some burgers with a little bit of this money.
Right, right.
No, I'm pretty sure that's still being a thief, Bruce.
No, and you still stole that guy's money. Sure. It, just because you threw it in the alley doesn't mean you didn't steal the money. I liked it though. I mean, let me put it this way: when you look at the entire where they're taking this kid into being really really Batman, I feel like in 30 years, if I looked back, I'm going to be like, you know what? You can have that $20 for burgers, man. You can have that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
We're going to be all right.
I did love the "You're not smart enough to play dumb."
Oh, Barnes, great line.
Yeah,
to Bullock.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that whole scene with the officer from IA or whatever.
Yeah.
Way more than I wanted to see of Bullock's sex life. That gives us a lot of
you know what's bad.
That gives us a lot of insight into who he is, and I don't need that.
Right. I thought the scene was funny, but yeah, it's kind of like it's kind of a cringe scene. But you know what actually literally crossed my mind while I'm watching that scene is like, this is still better than watching Butch and Tigress. I think I would still prefer it.
Disagree.
You had to consider that one though, right? It's close. It's at least close.
Nope, rather see Butch and Tigress.
Gotcha. To each their own hells.
See, I think the deciding factor is Tigress for me.
Yeah, I can see that. The I'll tell you, man, at the beginning of this episode though, as like you're watching Penguin at that funeral, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've hated this whole Vandal's storyline. The whole episode I keep thinking, oh man, I'm told this is when it happens. I cannot wait for him to kill these people. I really was. I was excited for him to actually start stabbing some people.
I was too.
I was hoping we'd get to see all three of them die. I felt cheated only getting to see the one.
Nope. It was perfect. It was perfect.
Oh, he did a wonderful job.
Oh man, it's good.
But the first scene with him, he's so pathetic. I'm starting to feel real like sympathy for Penguin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt terrible for him.
Shouldn't be possible.
Just like, we'll fire the maid.
Right.
We have a free servant. You bitch.
I mean, how
dare you.
And he's just so damn happy to have like a chance to just to even come back home. It's, man, yeah. They bottomed him out. I was so happy when his programming came back, or I guess left.
Yeah, well.
Poor dog. But I mean, I guess there's more than one way to test for poison.
I know. That dog looked like Ace the Bat Hound from Batman Beyond. I was not okay with that.
I know.
That was the one part that, like, I was fine with him killing people. Don't kill a dog, man. Don't kill a dog.
Well, that's when I knew the Penguin was really going to be back, though. Like, if there's still a part of him that would use a dog as a science experiment, that's the ruthless motherfucker I fell in love with. Welcome him back and hand him a tuna sandwich. For God's sake, don't make him ask for the tuna sandwich.
Yeah, but that roast scene, man.
Oh, the roast scene was good.
And even the lady, even the way she, like, Vandal, how she kept... So, you know, like, talking about his slut mother's goulash, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. dude, oh, she's asking for it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't talk about Pinger's mother.
I don't know that I've ever, even on this show, I don't know that I've ever seen anyone often been more happy about it.
I know. Maybe. I kind of felt, I knew where it was going, too. She's like, try this. And she's like, it's dry. And he's like, try from this joint. It's just the same.
I don't think they are. Oh, okay.
Oh, where are the children? Well, you said they were the same. But I'm pretty sure, what was her name? Sadie is a little more tender. Oh, man. And you know what? I haven't really dug the chick that played that woman too much. I think because she actually did her job effectively.
No, I mean, I hated him. The show didn't need me to hate anyone that badly. It got annoying.
Mm-hmm. But, like, that look of, it paid off, man. That look of, like, anguish and disgust when she realized that she was eating her own children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just, like, that, contrasted with Penguin's looks. Like, dude, that guy, he can be my Penguin forever.
He's, he's eating it up. I'll phrase it that way. All that
chewing a lot of scenery.
No. I mean, he's just all that devastation on her face. He's just gorging himself on it. Don't blame him at this point. Just didn't. And then him, like, you know, grabbing the little taste of the meat with his finger. Yeah. He was just as ruthless as I wanted him to be. Just like I remembered. And you see that look on her face when she realizes that not only did she just eat her children, now she's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was just, I'm so happy with that story being over. I was loving that scene way more than like a sane man should.
Yeah. So, the IA tape, they are really committed to screwing with what time frame we're in.
Yeah.
Because that thing looks like it's from the 20s.
Yeah. It's proper reel-to-reel technology. And, you know, mm-hmm. you saw the computer that was sitting there on the desk when he breaks into AI anyway. IA, right? Internal Affairs? Or did they rename it AI? I don't know.
I think it's IA, Internal Affairs.
Who's been saying AI? Anyway,
No, I've been saying IA. Okay.
Excuse my derailment. Anyway, so when she breaks in there, like, did you see the... whatever, we got through it. You saw the computer sitting there. Or if you noticed it, like, I'm pretty sure the reason that computer wasn't on is because there's probably, like, no computer on Earth that still operates that's that old. It just can't be. Like, that was... It's just a shell.
Right.
So, the show fascinates me, though, in that way, because they've got modern cars every now and then. They've got older cars every now and then. The guns are obviously modern as all hell. And then... Yeah, pretty good use of phone technology here. It's just it's an in-between time frame.
Yeah. And, you know, and then you've got computers like that, and you've got computers like Thomas Wayne's back at the mansion.
Yes.
That looks better than anything I've ever seen.
Yes. Because it's like, true. It's like the proto-bat computer, man.
yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I hope so.
I scoffed. Okay, there's the scene where, like, Barbara has woken up. She's in group therapy. Mm-hmm. And she says, and I scoffed at this line, maybe I just really needed some sleep.
Yeah.
That's not how brains work.
Sweetie. No, what she has is she got conked on the head, remember? So I'm calling it reverse mm-hmm. King Tut syndrome.
Yeah. And Hugo was like, she intrigues me. I wrote down, why? Why, Hugo? Like, everyone's intrigued. So intrigued by Barbara. Like, everyone on the show is just like, oh, who is she? I'm like, why do you any of you care? She's the least interesting part of the show.
Lock her the hell up.
It's like, they think that, like, if they convince us that, like, look, all of these villains that you like, they think she's interesting. Why don't you? We'll be like, oh, you're right. No.
No. No. No. No. I'm not going to be sold on it yet. Just not. I keep holding out hope that one day they'll do something that I really dig, but it's never happened. And I don't like, I don't like kind of flippantly at this point, it feels like, writing Lee off the show. I mean, I realize there are reasons. Everything's happening. But
she's pregnant in real life.
Yeah.
So, kind of got to get rid of her for a minute.
I have been under the impression that she's actually taking, like, time off for the baby for a second. So they literally had to get her off the show. But
Well, that last episode she was in, she looked like she was going to pop there. So.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you are very pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Time to go ahead and pack that.
Hercules.
Time to go ahead and pack that emergency overnight bag and plan your route to the hospital.
Right. I was, like, worried for her. I was like, you should not be filming these scenes right now.
You need to go lie down.
And you're crying so profusely. You're going to start something.
Yeah, the, I don't know. Getting Barbara back for, like, trading Lee for Barbara for me is just a bum deal. I get it why it's happening. Well, it's just a bum deal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'd rather it happen now than happen at a point where, you know, I don't want to see, you know, Lee and her going at it again. I just really don't. Now, switching over from Barbara to
anything
someone
else.
Who's a lot more fun.
Yep.
Every damn thing with Ed this episode.
Yeah.
Edward Nygma.
And it's Corey Michael Smith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that guy didn't just, like, hit it out of the ballpark. He hit it into another city's ballpark and then over that fence. Destroyed this episode. Loved it.
Yeah, and I was on the edge of my seat, like
him and Gordon in the
Jim
apartment
talking about, like, Jim talking about how whoever framed him has to be a psychopath, and the look on Ed's face. I wrote down, ooh, Ed doesn't like that word.
Yeah, I, oh man, they did.
And then down to the I knew that you knew that I knew.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Oof.
And he's even like stuff, he even man. Goes and stands over by the cuckoo clock. I mean, he's just toying with him.
And when it comes out, starts cuckooing, like, just that slow head turn and grin from Ed, man.
Right.
And he nailed it. He nailed it.
Nailed him in the leg too. That was a good looking bloodshot. I liked the little pop of red.
Oh, leads us to my next point. I love domestic Selena and Bruce.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look at them playing house, all cute and all.
They were. But more than that, I mean, don't get me wrong, I could spend a season watching those two run around and teach Bruce how to be a thief. Really, I could.
Right.
Just, you know, trying to steal just enough to make ends meet, but not more than he needs to. And, yeah. Oh, it'd be hilarious. I would love it. But... Alfred makes some damn good points about Selena.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is he puts it straight, too. Like, I have problems with her, but she's been a damn loyal friend to you, you know?
Yeah.
If you want to continue your mission, I will not have you put her at risk.
I will not have you put that little girl's life in danger.
Right.
Oh, God. Okay. It's the work or her. You can't have both. And that is an underlying theme in the Batman mythos, and has been forever.
You can throw as many silver scent clouds at it as you want.
It's the work or her. You can't have both. It's the work or her. You can't have both.
Yeah.
That line should be in any Batman's writer's Bible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, it's the Jim Kirk or the Jim Kirk and the Enterprise or the woman. It's,
yeah,
it's that. That's exactly the problem. Like, no, there's no warm hand to hold. You've made your choice. You can't.
Right. You've given up all the comforts of family because mm-hmm. you know damn well if you try to do both, you'd ruin both. And there are many times that, you know, if there are moments, and they've toyed with it at times where, like, if Bruce Wayne decides to retire and have his family, you don't blame him, you know? You're like, dude, you put 30 freaking years of your body into this work. Yeah, man, go marry Selena. It's good. Good luck. Congratulations.
Yeah.
but it always comes, it's always that. The Mask of the Phantasm, like, I never thought I'd be happy. It's there every time.
Yeah. But, you know, as he's wont to do, Bruce chooses the work.
Yeah.
Of course he does.
It seemed a little bit like he could have kind of told her more than he did, but, I mean.
It always feels that way.
At the same time, he can't. Like, if he really told her that, she would tell him to screw himself, because she can take care of herself, and who the hell does he think he is, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd kind of be right, too, but.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing you'd have at that point to tell her is, well, I can't really include you in what I'm really doing, and then just pull out the whole story. I mean, I could make a case for him kind of keeping quiet and letting her be mad at him, but
yeah,
you know, it always seems like those two kids just talked it out for a second, everything might work out.
Yeah. So Barnes, everyone's on board with you know, the fact that Jim is not guilty,
right?
By the end of this episode, glad we didn't go so far into this that we're like making it a whole series, a whole season thing. Loved and did not expect the reveal of the Riddler so soon.
Not
this
episode.
I didn't expect everyone to know that Ed was the bad guy here.
Yeah. I mean, I knew they were going to be focusing on him, but and it's kind of the nice thing about it. You did it so quickly and so well, I'm just really damn happy with it.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was really well done.
I hope Riddler's not just done. Like, I don't mind seeing him in the in Arkham.
I don't know why it would be.
But
Penguin hasn't been.
No, they've got plenty of time with him. I know they're trying to juggle a lot of villains this season. They're people we haven't even gotten into, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I've been promised a Clayface. and, you know, we know we've got James Frain and Azrael coming back soon. Like, they've just got a lot of balls in the air. I get it. But
they got Mr. Freeze coming back, too.
Yeah. He's still hanging around somewhere. So. I'm told Fish Mooney's supposed to make a reappearance. Like, just, I'm worried we're not going to have more time for Ed. But if that ends up being the case, I will say, good job with what you did.
Mm-hmm. So, Jim has to go and find. He's decided he's got to go and find the person who hired Matches Malone to kill the Waynes.
Right.
Before he can do anything else. Before he can even become a cop again.
Right. I'm up for it as a storyline.
I dug that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I dug that. I was like, well, you know, sure. That's kind of cool. I mean,
felt like it was a little out of nowhere.
Huh?
Felt like it was a little out of nowhere, though, because, you know, we're talking about that was some early season one stuff that he made that promise. And then there's that devastating moment where Bruce tells him, you know, don't worry about it. You know, don't beat yourself up for something you can't do.
Yeah. But I think also, like, yeah, Bruce said that, but then Gordon finds Bruce, you know, in Matches Malone's apartment, you know? Like, he's like, oh, this kid's going to do it himself if I don't do it.
Right.
Of course I have to do this. Of course I do. This is a promise I made, and Bruce is a little me.
Yeah.
if not something worse.
If you learn nothing by finding him in Matches Malone's apartment with a gun, it's that if the kid has decided he wants something done, it's motherfucking going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
So, may as well help him, or he's going to get himself killed, guys.
Mm-hmm. So, Barbara gets released from Arkham Asylum, and Hugo doesn't know what Barbara's going to do, but it will be interesting.
Mm. Well, I hope so, it, Hugo.
I doubt it. But that leads us into next week. The promo for 218 leaves us with the man who they say the man who killed Bruce's parents, his name is the Philosopher, which I don't know that.
No, never heard, never run across that.
It looks like we're gonna get undead crazies finally. We're gonna get Theo Gallivan at the very least.
Yeah,
coming back from the dead. Barbara being crazy, trying to help Jim. We did see her show up at his place at the end of this episode.
I'm wondering if she's gonna show up and be docile for a little while though, or if, we'll see.
I think she's going to be just as crazy, but just trying to help Jim, like, instead of trying to kill him, you know?
Yeah, that might be a little better, at least.
Maybe. And then, you know, we have more Mr. Freeze. So, I don't know. You know, it might be too much. It might be just enough. They're going to have to work really hard to top this episode.
Yeah, it's been good. And, like I said, aside from the Vandal stuff, which I was just not happy with, the back half of the season has been very strong.
Mm-hmm. It has so far, which is disappointing that it's like this is like the third time consecutively that the ratings have been the lowest they've ever been.
I don't know what to
it's
do
renewed
with that.
For another season, but yeah, the ratings are real low, man, and it's low. I mean, at least this is the Nielsen ratings too, so maybe they're not putting as much stock in it. I'm talking about like it's like 3.75 or something. So,
I mean, you got to pull in cord cutters to get the numbers these days, to get real ones. I mean, that's, you know, we were happy to predict Lucifer's doom for a long time there. And then even on it was a bubble, even on just the TV, just on the Nielsen, it was a bubble show. But you know, when we finally, you ended up finally finding the overall numbers, and they were just staggering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you really got to look at them these days. Can't even think about ignoring them.
Yeah. So, I think that's all I've got on this episode, man.
Believe so.
All right. We are DC On Screen. You can find every episode at DCOnScreen.com. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher. We're on Twitter and Facebook. We're everywhere. We're a proud member of the Giant Size Team Up Network, GiantSizeTeamUp.com. Go check out our friends Matt Carroll and Jeff Randall over at the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, MCUcast.com. We're going to be coming right back with a review of Lucifer 111, Saint Lucifer. So, until then, keep some DC on your screen.